I've had lots of practice. I would like to read with you tonight in the first book of your Bible, Genesis chapter 25. Anything I had in the way of a prepared message disappeared this morning. And so this is not a prepared message, but it does come from some burden of heart. And you will understand what I have to say in a few minutes. Genesis 25 and verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16 and 12. Second Chronicles 16, verse 12. And Asa, in the 30th and 9th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to physicians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Verse 29. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. For final reading in the book of James, verse 14. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This message started with the reading of Psalm 78 this morning, and the recognition on the part of the psalmist that the Lord's hand had been put upon him, and that he was suffering both mentally and physically because of sin in his life. And it gives us a graphic description of his distress and of his deep, deep desire to get back right with the Lord. It takes love for Christ to be concerned, and when you get away from the Lord in heart, you see, you know, that night in Pilate's judgment hall, and the Lord looked at Peter. Peter had to be looking at the Lord to catch that glance, didn't he? But when the Lord looked upon him, he went out and he wept bitterly. Why? He loved the Lord. So if you profess to be a Christian, and you can do wrong things, sinful things, and it doesn't bother you, doesn't disturb you, then it would be a good thing to examine whether you really belong to the Lord or not. If there's a true, genuine love for Christ in your soul, then you won't want to remain at distance from Him. I come from a few years in Zambia, and that's a land of suffering. In the town that we lived in, there was no doctor most of the time, no medicines, and in every hand, people dying, and it just said there's no reason for it. We had a little girl born in our car, and the parents named her Dorothy after my wife. And we got a lot of enjoyment out of our little Zambian granddaughter. And she came month by month for goodies. And then she took malaria. And at 2.5 years old, she's gone. So it's a land of tremendous suffering. But then I come back to Canada, the best country in the world to live in, right? Great country to live in. Medicines, medical care, nothing in the world like it. So none of the Christians are sick, right? Well, not quite like that, eh? Now, really, the burden of my message is this. I can't judge. None of us can judge. If sickness comes into your life, Job would tell us very, very plainly, show us that we have no business to be sitting in judgment and saying why the Lord has permitted sickness in someone's life. When Lazarus got sick, it was the one that the Lord loved was sick. And the sickness was for the glory of God. And the Lord may bring sickness into your life and my life. And I do confess it's a certain amount of fear to even be saying what I'm saying here tonight. You very often find when you have something to say, and especially if you're a bit critical, that it comes back to haunt you. So one thing we know, that the Lord may bring things into our life in the way of sickness or a way of affliction. The Apostle Paul was in prison, and his boldness in the prison, his affliction, just encouraged other people to be faithful to the Lord and to be bold in telling others about Christ. So his affliction was really just for the benefit of others. He had a thorn in the flesh, and it was preventative. It was given to him to keep him from becoming proud. And the Lord knows why sickness comes into people's lives. But having said that, the point that I really want to make tonight, listen, if sickness does come into your life, inquire of the Lord. Rebecca had a physical problem, and if you know the kind of boys that Jacob and Esau turned out to be, they started their quarreling in the mother's womb. And they were causing her such distress, she went and inquired of the Lord. To me, it is and I can't read people's hearts, and I don't know, like, when sickness comes into your life, or into the life of others, it should prompt, very first of all, to inquire of the Lord, why is this? Lord, is it because I've gone astray? Is it because you've brought in discipline into my life? And listen, the Lord always acts in love. And it's just an expression of the love of his heart that he does discipline his children. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if it's what you need, that's what love will do. And the Lord wants you and I to, when sickness comes, the very first thing, go to the Lord and say, Lord, why? Examine your heart. See if there's a cause there that He is bringing discipline into your life. We read of the king who, it said he didn't seek to physicians. He sought to physicians, but not to the Lord. He didn't inquire of the Lord. He just sought to physicians. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with seeking to physicians. If you're praying for the Lord to heal you, He expects you to take practical action as well and go and see what the problem is. But this man, it wasn't a fault. The fault wasn't that he went to physicians, for the Lord Himself says that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So the Lord said, those that are sick need a physician. I once worked with a man, and he called himself a Christian Scientist. And he said, we have no use for doctors. Nothing to do with them. He said, they're not necessary. We can get all our healing through miraculous events. I said, well, then what did the Lord mean when He said, they that are whole, they that are sick need a physician? He said, did the Lord say that? I said, yeah, He did. He said, I'll have to look that one up. I said, I didn't know the Lord had said that. And then one day He got sick. And he's in the hospital. I go to see him. He's very, very embarrassed. He said, you know, the only reason I'm in here, he said, if I were to die, the whole neighborhood would blame my wife if I didn't go to the hospital. So I'm just in here for her sake. Nothing to do with my condition. It's, you know, I'm going to get better through miraculous means. I'm just in here to protect my wife. He was also accepting the doctor's orders to how he could get better. We've read of two areas where the Lord's hand can be put upon both a company of Christians, an assembly. It was my privilege and responsibility for a number of years to help take care of a church of God. And you know, there never was a time, and I don't know whether there was a time when we needed to, but there was never a time when we came together and said, let's seek the mind of the Lord as to why there is the hand of God seems to be on the company. Why there are those that are sick. It's something that should cause an assembly to inquire of the Lord and to try to make sure that it isn't something within the assembly that's causing the disciplining hand of God. And I say again, the Lord can bring in affliction and suffering and it be nothing to do with wrongdoing. But be sure and inquire of the Lord. If you're conscious in the assembly of which you're a part, that the hand of God seems to be on the company. And listen, I don't think that the hand of God and the assembly of Corinth, that the Lord was just taking away the problem people. The hand of the Lord was on the company. And those who may very well have been taken away may not have. In fact, the troublemakers were still there. So the burden of my heart is this. Listen, if there's evidence of the Lord's hand, inquire of the Lord. Determine, is it through failure and sin and wrongdoing that the hand of God is on the company? Make sure things are right. Make sure you're right with the Lord. And then we read of the man in James, a man who seems to be conscious of the fact the Lord has brought affliction into my life because of my wrongdoing. So he calls to the elders of the church. Again, I'm not sure if I remember or know of an incident when this is being carried out today. There are sins that must be confessed to the assembly and can never be put right until such confession has been made and the assembly has taken corrective action, discipline. And this man has recognized that the sin in his life that had brought the hand of God upon him, and he called for the elders. I don't think there'd be any doubt that when he called them, there would be confession made. The elders come and they show their love for that man. I was thinking the other day, in fact, it was one of the brethren said, quoted, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." I say, well, like, does this mean the Lord's reluctant and he doesn't want to? He doesn't want to do it, and you have to persuade him? No. He was moved with compassion toward the lost, and said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest." So we're not going to try to overcome his reluctance. He's not reluctant. So why are you going to pray? I said, oftentimes we would do it if we were just asked. You say, that's kind of petty, isn't it? It would certainly never be true of our Lord. You'd never find that he would sit back and he won't do anything unless he's asked. So what did he mean when he said, "Pray there for the Lord of the harvest"? Well, one of the things that impressed my heart was this. Listen, prayer, true, genuine, earnest, fervent prayer is always matched with endeavor, effort, showing it's real. So who's going to change if you pray the Lord of the harvest? Not our Lord. Your heart and mind. If we make it a true and genuine prayer to our God, and it comes from our heart, we're going to be prepared to do something about it. If we're able and the Lord calls us, we'll be willing to go. If our circumstances are such that we're not willing to go, we'll do all we can to make it possible for somebody else to go. But if you pray, be sure that you understand and you know that prayer is not, thinking of Nehemiah's day, and they're praying to the Lord to protect them. They carry a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, and they build. They show the reality of their prayers by their efforts. So they come to this man, and he's got a problem. He knows it's the hand of God on him. He wants to get better. He wants to get things put right in his life. And they come and they pray over him, and they anoint him with oil. You know what the oil is doing? The oil is just showing we really love you. And we want to ease your suffering. Our prayer is going to be matched with our efforts to show our love for you. And in this case, it says that the prayer of faith, not the oil, this isn't some magic oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the oil will show that you have a real, genuine, practical sort of love for that person. And it says, any sins that have been committed will be forgiven, and the Lord will raise them up. And so really the burden of my heart is this. And we do find in Canada, with all the medical help that are available, there are those that are sick, and they should exercise our hearts. And we shouldn't sit in judgment on them. But we would encourage very, very much, inquire of the Lord. See that if there's a cause, and if you can honestly examine your heart before the Lord, and you're not convicted of any sin that you have committed, that the Lord may have laid his hand upon you, then You can do like the apostle did. He says, I glory in infirmities. The afflictions that came to him, he said, it's something I can take pleasure in. The Lord's getting glory out of this. He's displaying his grace. He's showing his power. And very often an affliction is a time when a Christian can please the Lord better than he can at any other time. And so if the Lord has brought you into affliction, or he does bring you into affliction, my plea would be, inquire of the Lord. Examine your heart. Make sure things are right. And then you'll be able to endure, knowing that you're suffering according to the will of God, that he has a purpose in it, and it's for his own glory. That's what with Lazarus, his sickness, resulting in death, but it was for the glory of God. And so, I haven't come up here to sit in judgment or to say, this happened to you because, I don't know. I'm wise enough. Maybe that's not a very good way to put it. I've read enough of the Word of God to know that we cannot. But I'll tell you something that I was. It really caused the burden. There's a couple that left the assembly after many years. No known sin. Didn't seem to be particularly bitter about anything. They just left. And I met one of them in the hospital this past week, suffering dreadfully. And oh, I would just love to have said, listen, be sure you put everything right in your life. I didn't have that kind of relationship with that person that I felt I could say that. But it certainly was the prayer of my heart and the burden of my message, that when things around personal life, be a Rebecca, inquire of the Lord. And having examined your own heart and assured yourself the Lord is not bringing this in as a discipline to bring you back to God, then you'll be able to endure the affliction and endure it with the consciousness that in this affliction, I can please God.